And we are back here on Monday Night Talk. Just a quick note, if you, I'm usually somebody who's very active on social media, ever have a question or maybe an idea or a suggestion for a future program, you can always find me on Twitter at Kevin Tocci, T-O-C-C-I. Also, Monday Night Talk does have a Facebook page. Just look for, I want to say it's Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD. Like the page and then feel free to either send a message or post a comment. So our next guest joining us here on Monday Night Talk is Brockton Water Commissioner Kate Archer. She's no stranger to this radio program. The component to our conversation is to talk about the latest that's going on with the city of Brockton in regards to water. And it's been a big conversation for many years, but it's taken a different turn over the past 20 years since, well, it might even be more than 20 years, it might be close to the 30 years since Brockton decided to go with a desalination plant. Of course, they also use water from the Silver Lake region. And so we're going to talk about all of those aspects in this conversation with Kate. Welcome to 95.9 WATD. Welcome back anyways.
Thank you.
First, what is the latest that Brockton has been dealing with its own issue in regards to, I know that the city is looking to purchase or talking about a purchase of Aquaria, yet are still looking to do work when it comes to the infrastructure for Silver Lake and being able to pump water from that?
Sure. Brockton historically is been taking water out of the Silver Lake area. And, you know, people say, is that right? People in Kingston, Pembroke area, they say that's in our backyard. Why is Brockton taking the lion's share of that? But it's just the way it is. I mean, the city of Boston gets its water from the Quabbin Reservoir, and that's just the way they put it into play. You're not going to turn around and tell a city of 100,000 people, go find your water somewhere else. That's not going to happen. So I think about the anger of the people in the Central Plymouth Water District area, but at the same time, we're just stuck with this situation. But we have to manage it better. And that means environmental policies that are well thought through and that are based on research and based on what's best for the majority of the people, not just small groups of people or private enterprises. And the Aquarius situation has come to a head because Brockton invested significant amounts of money in that, and we're not using the water, yet we're still paying for that investment. And at the same time, the current administration in Brockton and the CFO, John Condon, have crafted a letter of intent to purchase that desalination plant for $88 million, which is an absurd amount of money that, you know, needs to be looked at. So I'm trying to generate conversation and also input from the public, because we all together have to decide what we need to do to, you know, work through these issues. And the Central Plymouth Water District, I've been on your show with Paul Collis and others. Patrick Quinn is now on the commission from Brockton, and their voice needs to be heard. We need to work together on these issues.
Talk to us about the Aquaria situation, which is important, because the thought process is that if Brockton needed to, at a moment's notice, a flick of a switch, and the city should be able to get upwards of 4 million gallons of water per day service to the community of Brockton and anybody else who needs it if they are able to find suitors to buy it.
And it goes beyond just the 4 million, because right now Brockton needs about 10 to 11 million gallons a day to run the system in Brockton, and there are a couple of other users, out-of-town users. So what would happen if suddenly 10 million gallons a day went offline at Silver Lake? Part of our responsibility as the Brockton Water Commission is to make sure we have a master plan for that. Not that we think that's going to happen anytime soon, but still, you know, people fail to plan. That's why they get in trouble. So we're looking at ways in which we would have to deal with that should there be a catastrophic shutdown. The MWRA is available in Stoughton, but even with that, we would have to invest quite a bit of money to bring that up to the 10 million. The Aquaria is an additional source, but really right now is only capable about 3 million gallons a day. And they do not have the infrastructure in place there, nor do they have the permitting to get to 10 million. So we can't just turn off Silver Lake and say we can go to Aquaria. But the Aquaria is meant to supplement the use, especially during drought times and hard times, that Brockton can get, you know, about 3 to 4 million gallons, which is all we really need. At the same time, it's an incredibly expensive filter system. We're taking water out of the Taunton River, and they're calling it desal, but it's really brackish water. It really isn't pure desal, which is seawater, salt water. Mm-hmm. And they're having to filter out. There's a lot of muck and other stuff in there. It's an estuary, so there are fish issues, fish eggs, and other things that they never really thought about when they said, let's go desal, because they're killing the spawning grounds for the fish. So they had to put in very expensive systems. There's something called a Gundabroom, and then there are other systems, so then they're not going to do away with all the fish there, because this isn't, you know, water is part of the ecosystem where we have to look at the impacts, you know, up and downstream and to other wildlife. It's not just human beings get to take everything and forget about everybody else and forget about the rest of the environment. So it becomes very tricky. So when they went with desal, which was the most expensive, the riskiest solution, Jack Unitz's administration chose to go that route. It was against the Water Commission at the time, did not feel that was the best way to go. There were other more conservative, a lot of smaller things to be done. But the problem in Brockton seems to be and has been these magic bullets. You know, we're going to do this one huge project, be it a desal or a casino or a power plant, that's going to solve all our problems. And history has shown us that that's not good policy, and it's not good thinking. So this thought back in the early 2000s that this desal was going to come in, solve all Brockton's water problems, plus have plenty of water to sell for economic development, is just false. It's just not bearing up, and it's become very costly. And buying the place for $88 million, just to bury it, just to sort of make it go away, is not the way to go either, because, you know, we don't have that kind of money in Brockton to be throwing at this.
And well, now, from my understanding, the reason that was put forth by the current administration to purchase it would be a cheaper endeavor to buy it than to continue along the path of paying what is there under contract, a contract that I guess previous administrations have tried to look to break but could not find a way. This administration has not been able to find a way to break the contract, although there are others who have said that there are things that this contract doesn't live up to, that there's two sides to this contract. And one would think that if the owners of this plant are supposed to produce a certain amount upon being called upon to do so, that if they are unable to, that it's an instant breach and it's an open door to exit out. Is that something that has been discussed by the Water Commission as an alternative to the purchase, or has the commission just strictly been looking at whether it should be bought and getting a feeling from the public at large as to their thoughts on buying this entity.
Well, I try to base my thinking and decisions on actual evidence. You know, I don't really like to go to a bar and listen to some guy talking about something and think that that's the way things should go. Fortunately, people are making statements about whether one thing is more economical or another when they never even did the engineering work. I find it just unbelievable that people would come up with a price and come up with statements about cost when they haven't even done the cost analysis. I have talked with engineers, and we asked for an independent audit of what exactly it's going to cost to create the water versus what we're paying now. And I have been told that what it actually costs to make the water, because of all of the extraneous circumstances like the fish eggs and other things that I mentioned to you, it's actually more expensive to produce the water than Brockton is now paying. So Brockton is actually paying $2.95 per 1,000 gallons when it's costing Aquaria more than that. They're operating at a loss. So why would we think we could buy it and make it cheaper? This is just very frustrating to me. So this is where public policy and environmental policy and having actual experts informing your decisions is very important. I do not see this administration having the kind of technical assistance and experts helping them. Now, CDM Smith is the Water Commission and the city's consultant engineering firm, but they did not do the analysis based on 5 million gallons, which is what they keep saying that they're buying the plant for the capacity. And they have not truly been upfront in terms of what the cost is now versus the speculative cost, which is what the political rhetoric is spinning. Oh, it's better to own a house than to rent. Really? Is it better to own the house when the roof has a $100,000 fix and the boiler blew up and the backyard is sinking? Is it really better to own it? Well, we need to think about those kinds of comparisons when we're deciding what to do with large sums of money. And the Plymouth County Water District folks want to see us use the Aquaria water because it definitely helps with the stress on Silver Lake and other things. So we have to figure out the best way to approach this. But taking the whole thing on in Brockton, I don't know if that's the best way to go right now. I think it's going to cause more problems than solve.
What you've had a chance to hear from the public. I'm sure you hear from people on a regular basis. They know your title and they know what you're working on. What do people say to you? How do people feel? Do you get mixed reviews or do you hear more so on one side than the other?
Well, people, again, don't quite understand how Brockton historically has stressed out the region and that we are the only city in Plymouth County, the largest group of people. We have a responsibility to make sure that people have safe drinking water, but at the same time, we shouldn't be ruining the area for others. You know, and the folks around Montponsett Pond are very concerned, and the folks in Halifax are very concerned because they've had to spend the money to remediate some of those problems. But on the other side of that coin, because of the septic systems in the area and the cranberry bogs in the area, that's caused it too. So it isn't just all Brockton's fault. It has to be looked at holistically. The Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection is trying to do that. They're trying to look at all the stakeholders here and say, you know, what is the best way forward? And it's going to take a lot more planning and a lot more conversations, but it's difficult when the current administration, won't even sit down to have the conversation. They're off chasing, I don't know, roulette wheels or something? I'm not sure.
We are, of course, speaking with Kate Archer. She is a water commissioner in the city of Brockton. We are talking about water during this segment. And so I want to kind of turn our attention to Silver Lake and the Water District and kind of get your take on it, and you brought up some very interesting things to talk about in regards to how the stress that the one city in Plymouth County of with this 26 communities and the one city, but I think there's maybe what 7 or 8 communities that are actually utilizing Silver Lake as a water source, along with Brockton, right?
I don't know about that because I was told by Pine Dubois that Kingston can't get its water from Silver Lake, even though Silver Lake is in Kingston. Kingston has to get its water from other sources. I know, it sounds strange, but they have been using groundwater and other things because Brockton has stressed out the system so much that, yes, there's a problem there. There's a problem with wells in the area. There's a problem with septic systems in the area. And then we have Silver Lake, which Brockton is definitely taking the lion's share of. We have Whitman Hansen on our system for about 1 million gallons. We have some parts of Abington on it. We have some parts of East Bridgewater on it. But the bulk of that is definitely going to Brockton.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pembroke isn't part of it. There's no other.
Part of the legislation says we have to supply those places during an emergency, but I think a lot of them are on their own wells and things.
Okay. You would know better than I would. That's why we have you here. You're somebody who delves in these situations and into this conversation. What are you hearing in regards to Silver Lake and its safekeeping? I know that there are. We have had legislators who have come on. We've had Tommy Coulter, state rep, who's come on and talked about protecting Silver Lake. And I know I've heard the conversation about the biggest concern is as far as some of the gates, the sloughs, making sure that they're open properly, making sure that there's not an algae bloom buildup, that it's affecting some of these smaller offshoots, not so much Silver Lake, but the Jones River and other little offshoots that people are worried about, that it's causing damage to, irreparable harm.
It is, and it should be a concern. And it should be a concern that people that live near Montponset, that they're, you know, that the water can kill pets or they can't even go near it because it has so much of that algae.
Right.
And that's because there's an artificial situation going on with the Silver Lake being raised during times when, you know, those ponds are high. So it looks as though we're not, you know, hurting Silver Lake. But the flow of the system needs to be better regulated with that. There's also flooding concerns, though, when some of those ponds are so high that they need to be open so that the houses don't get flooded. So it's pretty complex. And some of the dams, the older dams that are in place, what, do we just take those out and let people's basements get flooded? I mean, it's very interrelated, and it's a, you know, hundreds of years of really not understanding how watersheds work. But the EPA and the DEP have sent down scientists that are helping us model and understand the flow of that water and how one place, East Montponset and West Montponset, relates to Furnace Brook, relates to the Silver Lake, and all of that
Stump
is into
River, yes,
yeah, all of that. It's all connected. But certainly, you know, to take polluted water and put it into clean water when it comes to Silver Lake, that's not right. That's not good. And you know, that we're artificially, again, pumping up Silver Lake because we're damaging it by too much use.
With the desal water?
Desal water is meant to stop us from taking so much out of Silver
Lake. But none of it would
Silver
be back
Lake.
Pumped into?
Absolutely not. Okay. It's coming from a different place. So it's the desal water is meant as to, you know, 3 to 4 million gallons to take that stress of 3 to 4 million gallons off Silver Lake. The problem is that it's more expensive, and the politicians have made statements about that water that should be used to help, you know, take the stress off for stupid projects like power plants. There were some politicians that thought it was a good idea to take the aquaria water and use it for cooling towers for a fossil fuel power plant.
If I could kind of throw this in there, my assumption, and I use that word loosely, was that the desal plant had a duality other than providing water, backup water to the city of Brockton during tougher times when we see droughts and stuff. But that, you know, earlier on in the late 90s, that there was a push for a power plant, but one of the problems was because of lack of water, that the desal plant would have not only knocked out issues with drought, but also would serve to help this an older project, not this one, but its predecessor.
Correct. And this is where that whole magic bullet theory comes in, that there were going to be these giant projects that were going to, yes, save the day. But it's incredibly wasteful to take drinking water and use it on cooling towers. So I disagree with the Energy Facility Siting Board's determination that the power plant could be sited. Yet they have said, you know, unequivocally, the only way that that power plant operates is by using recycled sewer effluent, which, hey, if the thing was stuck way in the middle of the woods, way out somewhere, not near people, yes, recycled water, we have to start thinking about and using recycled water for industrial processes. Right next to the Davis School, where little kids will be breathing in those vapors, no thank you. I absolutely refuse to allow that into my city when the children are at risk like that.
We probably got about 7 or 8 minutes left in this particular segment that we're doing on not only the Silver Lake issue but the Aquaria issue. Have your counterparts on the Water Commission had a chance to speak with folks, whether it's the Mont-Ponset watershed folks or maybe folks who are looking to put legislature into motion up at the State House? Has there been a collective conversation in regards to the shared use of Silver Lake?
Well, we've had Halifax has come in with asking for help to defray some of the costs of their alum treatments for the Mont-Ponset Pond and those issues. I know they've approached the City Hall on that, and City Hall's attitude has been, we don't have the money. Yet at the same time, I find out that other people like Chris English, who is a hedge fund owner and very wealthy, is not paying his water bill at the Rock Stadium. So I find that to be very insulting, that we tell one stakeholders, you know, we don't have money for your water issues, yet we're letting somebody else off the hook. I think, again, if we better managed what we need. There are other issues with the drinking water, such as people that are using drinking water for laundry purposes. We found out that the VA hospital has been using almost 1 million gallons a day of drinking water when their private well shut down. They're doing some work over there on laundry. The Brockton facility is the regional laundry center for some reason for West Roxbury. No, to me, we have got to stop that. I mean, we should be using recycled water for things like watering golf courses, laundry, and other things like that, where we're not harming people, but we're not using the drinking water. So I'm hopeful that there will be more experts that are going to come in and advise this administration on water policy, because right now, people are just sort of burying their head in the sand over the issue.
Anything that we haven't touched upon in regards to the whether it's Silver Lake, the infrastructure in regards to, I know that the something was passed last year to upgrade the infrastructure of the pipes going to and from Silver Lake. Ever since what happened last summer in East Bridgewater, that there's a movement underway to improve that infrastructure, or just basically the purchase of the desal plant down at Dighton, where that stands?
Well, we're hopeful that we could have a water forum. They had a sewer forum not too long ago, but I think that the issue of water needs to be also talked about in a larger forum with all the community stakeholders, because people are upset about this. And, you know, hopefully we can look for solutions together and share. Hey, we share the burden, we share the cost, we share the responsibility in this watershed area.
Again, we've been speaking with Kate Archer. She is a water commissioner in the city of Brockton, and she's kind enough to come in and discuss multiple topics. What I'd like to do is maybe in the near future, maybe in the coming weeks, have yourself in. Maybe we can have Pine de Bois come in. Maybe we have one of the county water commissioners come in, whether it's Brockton's own or someone else. And maybe even have a Tom Coulter come in and a legislator kind of have a roundtable discussion about everything water, especially when it comes to the region. What do you think?
Very important, especially since we didn't talk about it, but you know what just happened in Flint, Michigan, which is very, very much parallel to Brockton.
Give me your thoughts. Give me your concerns on something like that. That could be happening right here.
It absolutely could be happening. And again, decisions were made about on a monetary basis without the science being there, without the testing being there for what was going to happen. And it just shows you're penny wise and pound foolish, and we've got to prevent those kinds of bad decisions, and hopefully that's what the Brockton Water Commission is working towards, making better decisions going forward.
What do you have coming up in the coming weeks in regards to the Water Commission and in this area, whether it's Aquaria or maybe Silver Lake? Do you have any discussions coming up or coming before the board on that?
Well, which we had recently voted to have the city council look at entering into that letter of intent. I don't know what the city council is going to do about that. Again, it seems to be just languishing with inactivity, and Aquaria is needs to be looked at. I do believe that the contract, as it states now, there are some things that we need to check on. So I'm hopeful that we will be proactive. If not, I'll look for other avenues of trying to check in that, because water is a public utility. It's a public right, and we have to protect it.
There she is, Kate Archer. She's been our guest for this segment of Monday Night Talk. As a reminder, if you miss any of the segments or you tune in late, we do put the podcast up. It usually takes a couple of days to put those podcasts up, or the individual guests as their own podcast. Just go to the homepage, 959watd.com. Scroll down on the homepage, left side of the page, Monday Night Talk, click on it, and that's where you'll be able to access all of our podcasts. I want to say there's like 700 of them. Okay, we are going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 959 WATD.